By 9 o'clock.
Okay, so, first of all, I want to thank Rabbi Marquess for reminding everybody that there is no Mets game tonight. Because I don't say anything, but earlier this week I gave a shiur on the same night as a Mets game, and a lot of people cut the shiur to watch a Mets game. We'll see how that turned out. So I didn't want to put the Mets in that position again, because I actually am a Mets fan. I didn't want to put them in the position of having to lose again because people cut my shiur. So
that was it, I know.
So that worked out nicely. Okay. So I'll tell you one thing. So this week we're reading Parshas Vayera, and at the end of Vayera is Akedas Yitzchak, of course, as we all know. So, you know, asking somebody to give a rabbi to give his bar Torah, then he's like, I'm like, great, I'll just take out an old Rosh Hashanah drasha. So I'm going through my old Rosh Hashanah drashas, and I realize that, you know, saying, you know, Rabbosai, a month and a half ago was Tkiyas Shofar, not as inspiring as saying, you know, Rabbosai, we're about to have Tkiyas Shofar, so we'll go a little bit of a different direction than Tkiyas Shofar, with your permission. There's a Gemara in Masechti Vamos. It is, we are going to talk about Akedas Yitzchak, but through a prism of a source that maybe you have heard, maybe you haven't heard, there's a Gemara, it's a story in Masechti Vamos. It also appears in Masechta Bava Kama, and it concerns a young woman who fell into a pit. It's a story of the daughter of a man named Nechunya Chofer Sichin. Nechunya Chofer Sichin, the Gemara in Shkalim tells us, that the Gemara Shkalim lists people who were Mimunim, who had specific jobs in the Beis HaMikdash. Right? Different people had different jobs, different roles, and one of the people that the Mishnah lists is a man named Nechunya Chofer Sichin. Right? It's the first Mishnah in the fifth parak of Shkalim. Who was he? So Nechunya Chofer Sichin, what does it mean? It literally means Nechunya the ditch digger. His job was to dig ditches. Why do you need a ditch if you're in the Beis HaMikdash? Because these were not just ditches. These were cisterns. These were water pits that they would fill with water so that when people came for Aliyah L'Regel, they would have water to drink. So Nechunya, the reason the Mishnah mentions him by name, and if you look at the Mefarshim of the Mishnah, they'll tell you that these people who are listed by name, they weren't the only people to have occupied this job in history, but they were the ones who either did it the best or who brought the most enthusiasm or who the most kavana, whatever you want to say, to these particular jobs. And so the Mishnah lists them as the people who did these particular jobs. So Nechunya, this particular Nechunya, is listed as the Chofer Sichin. He's the guy who digs the ditches to fill them with water so that people who come on Aliyah L'Regel to Yerushalayim will be able to have water, and he thereby facilitated the mitzvah of a lot of people. In other words, we're talking about a person who is given that name, Chofer Sichin, the ditch digger, because of a particular mitzvah that he performed, and not just because that was his job. Having said that, the story about the daughter of Nechunya Chofer Sichin then is a little bit of a troublesome story, and you'll see that it becomes troubling on a few levels. So listen to the Gemara again. It's in Yevamos, it's above a comma. The Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, Ma'aseh bebito shel Nechunya Chofer Sichin shenafla labor hagadol. There's a story about the daughter of Nechunya, the ditch digger. What happened to her? She fell into one of the ditches, the big ditch, right? Nafla labor hagadol. She fell into the biggest of, apparently, the ditches that Nechunya dug. Presumably. What happened? They came to Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa and they told him Nechunya's daughter fell into the pit. Shari Shona Amar Lahem Shalom. For the first time they asked him, he said, don't worry, she's okay. Shnia Amar Lahem Shalom. The next time they asked him for the next hour, he said, don't worry, she's okay. Shlishis Amar Lahem Olsa. Right? By the third hour, he said, she's out. She's out of the pit. Okay. That's what Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa says. Rashi says because he knew that she couldn't handle it anymore, whatever it is, he knew she wouldn't survive in there much longer, so she's out of the pit. Now listen to what the Gemara says. Amarla, he said to her, B.T., Mihalech, who took you out of the pit? Amralo, she answered him, Zachar shel rechelim nizdamein li, v'zakein manhigo, a zachar shel rechelim. What's a zachar shel rechelim? It's a male sheep, it's a ram. A ram appeared, and it was being led by an old man. That's what she answered. So how'd she get out of the pit? This ram that's being led by an old man appears, and that somehow rescues her from the pit into which she fell. Now, the Gemara continues. So they asked Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, how do you know what's going on? Amrulo, Navi Ata? Are you a Navi? How did you know that she got out of the pit? How did you know that she was going to be safe, that she was going to be okay, that she was shalom, that she was okay, and then finally, that she's out of Marlem, lo, Navi, Anochi, v'lo, ben Navi, Anochi, I'm not a Navi, I'm not the son of a Navi, I don't have Ruach HaKodesh with regard to this story. Ela Davarsha Tzadik Misasek Bo, Yikashel Bo Zaro, but could it be that the very matter, the very item that this Tzadik, Nechunya, is involved with, that will be the the falling of his children. In other words, Rabbi Chanina ben Doza says it's impossible that Nechunya's daughter would fall and drown in the very pit that Nechunya dug for the purpose of a mitzvah. So therefore, he said, I don't have to be a Navi to figure out that she would be safe, and that ultimately she would be rescued. That's a story of the daughter of Nechunya Chofer Sichin. What does that have to do with Akedas Yitzchak? So this very odd appearance of a Zachar Shel Rechelim, this male sheep, the ram appears, being led by an old man. On the phrase Zachar Shel Rechelim, says Rashi, Ze Elo Shel Yitzchak. The ram that appeared to the daughter of Nechunya is Yitzchak's ram. It's the ram of the Akedah. Right now, it's important that Rashi calls it, Elo Shel Yitzchak, Yitzchak's ram, right? That is important because who else might be claimed as the owner of the ram? Avram. It could be Avram's ram, right? So why is it Yitzchak's ram? That's one thing to pay attention to. And then Zakena Chedman Higo, the old man who was leading the ram, that says Rashi, that's Avraham. So the ram appears to her. There happens to be a man along with the ram again. So again, we think about the Iker and the Tafel, the primary and the secondary here. Who's primary? Is it Avram who's pulling her out of the pit? It's not Avram pulling her out of the pit, right? Avram is just there with the ram. He's just there to lead the ram. It's the ram that's pulling her out of the pit, the ram of Yitzchak, and Avram is there leading the ram along. That's the story. So, again, that's the Gemara in Yevamos. That's the Gemara in Bava Kamma. That's the story of the daughter of Nechunya Chofer Sichin. Now, I wanted to make three observations regarding the story of the daughter of Nechunya. Number one, even though Rabbi Chanina ben Doza said he knew that she would be safe because it can't be that if her father, the tzaddik, put so much mesiras nefesh into the digging of a pit for the sake of the Olei Regalim to do a mitzvah, that she's going to be, that she'll be harmed by that very, very pit. Isn't it ironic that she falls into that pit anyway? In other words, even if ultimately she got out of the pit, she was still in the pit. Her life was in danger. At some point, there was some peril that was caused to Nechunya's daughter by the pit that he dug for the purpose of a mitzvah. So even if she made it out, Rabbi Chanina ben Doza was right, at the end of the day, she still fell in. In other words, something happened to her to endanger her, dafka, by means of the pit that her father had dug, the pit that he had dug, again, for the performance of a mitzvah. That's observation number one. Observation number two, we said before, who's credited with saving the daughter of Nechunya from the pit? The ram itself, right? The ayol, Elo Shel Yitzchak, is credited with saving her from the pit. The third thing, though, the real question about this story is sort of a big question, which is, what on earth is the point of this story? What is the point of the story about the daughter of Nechunya falling into the well and being saved by a ram? And again, if we read the story as Rashi tells us we're supposed to read it, the story of the girl falling into the well and being saved by the isle of the Akedah. Is the point that the isle saves people who are in peril? Well, the Gemara, and actually kind of life itself, is full of people who are in peril. And they're not, the Isle of the Akedah doesn't magically appear every time somebody's in danger. Even in the Gemara, even in the Midrashim, the Isle of the Akedah doesn't appear every time somebody is having some crisis to bail the person out of that crisis. So why her? Why the daughter of Nechunya specifically? Why does she get saved by Elo Shel Yitzchak, by the Isle of the Akedah? That's number one. And number two is, isn't it trivializing the Akedah and the Isle of the Akedah to a certain extent to say that the Isle comes to pull her out of a pit? That if somebody's in crisis, if somebody's in peril, the Isle of the Akedah, the Elo Shel Yitzchak, is going to come and save her? Again, if you want to tell me that she was, being sent up for Kiddush Hashem, that she was being, being taken out to be executed by the Roman authorities, let's say, who were around during Bayis Sheni, or some other scenario in which her life was imperiled and she was being asked to give up her life for Hashem, and instead, the Isle comes and saves her from that peril. So I understand what the Isle is doing there. But just the fact that she fell into a pit, is that really enough of a reason for the Isle of the Akedah to suddenly appear? Again, like I said before, isn't this, to put it quite, vulgarly, isn't she just a schlamazel? And if every time a schlamazel fell into something, the Isle of the Akedah came to save them, so the Isle of the Akedah will be very, very busy. So that's what I want to try to understand. So I want to try to understand, obviously, I think this story might be revealing, the story in the Gemara here, if we read it the way Rashi wants us to, is revealing, I think, something that we should understand about the Akedah that's not just the story of some girl who fell into some pit, who needed help, and then the Isle of the Akeda comes to save her. So let's try to understand it, maybe on a little bit of a deeper level. You know, there's a lot of dimensions to the story of the Akeda, right? We all know this. We've all heard all kinds of probably drushos and stories and shiurim about the Akeda. We've heard about the Akeda as a model of emuna. We've heard about the Akeda as a model of mesiras nefesh. And we've heard about the Akeda as a model of kiddush Hashem. There are all kinds of dimensions, but one of the most important questions when it comes to the Akeda is, let's think for a second about Yitzchak, right? We said that Rashi identifies the aisle here as Elo Shel Yitzchak. So let's think about what Yitzchak is doing here at the Akeda, right? Is Yitzchak an active participant in the Akeda, or is Yitzchak a passive participant in the Akeda? The answer is, Yitzchak is active. Why is it active?
He was trying to help Abraham and to tighten the ropes on him to make sure.
Okay. So he was maybe he was trying to help Abraham. He was trying to tighten the ropes. Okay, good.
He carried the wood.
Okay, so we have one side saying he was active. Who's a passive? Okay, that's passive. Good. So if we just read the psukim, unembellished by any midrashim, it seems that Yitzchak was more of a passive figure in the Akeda, right? It seems that the Akeda is really a story of Avraham's devotion to Hashem and Avraham's willingness to follow Hashem's commandment, even to make the ultimate sacrifice. And Yitzchak is kind of along for the ride, right? And Chazal find all kinds of active roles for Yitzchak within the Akeda, that's true. But if we just take the psukim on face value, Avraham is on a mission. Avraham is the one who is being tested. How do we know that Avraham is the one being tested? Because the pasuk says, "Va'elokim nisa es Avraham," right? Seems pretty clear that Avraham is the protagonist. Yitzchak is the passive victim. At most, he's along for the ride. So Yitzchak comes along with Avraham's nisayon. Yitzchak is almost slaughtered. Yitzchak is rescued at the last minute by the aisle. It's really all about Avraham, and it's really, let's see if what Avraham is willing to do. Right? That's generally the way we look at the Akeda. And if that's true, if the Nisayon is a Nisayon for Avraham, so the question is, what is Nisayon for Avraham? There's a very, very famous interpretation by Rav Kook, which is a little bit of a radical interpretation when it comes to the Akeda, but it's a very often quoted interpretation, in which Rav Kook says, I'll tell you what the test is. It's true, the test is for Avraham. Avraham is the protagonist here, because what Hashem was trying to test was to see whether Avraham would be able to moderate his religious passion. Here you have Avram living in a world of paganism. You have Avram living in a world of idolatry. You have Avram living in a world in which to sacrifice the things that are closest to you, whether it be your property, like your animals, whether it be your extended property, like members of your family, was not unheard of in the pagan world. When a person got involved in religious ecstasy, when a person really felt that God wanted them to do something, the person gave their all to God. And the question that Rav Kook says, what's the Akeda all about? It's all about telling Avraham, you have to learn to stop. You have to learn to moderate yourself. You have to learn, this is what Rav Kook says, that the passion that motivates you, Hashem was teaching Avraham, the passion that motivated Avraham to seek a specific outcome actually had to be moderated, and Avraham had to be prepared to accept an outcome that he wasn't initially expecting. That's the story of the Akeda. If you think about it, you know, it's almost like you could boil it down to the Akeda teaches Avraham that as a father, he expected a specific outcome for his child, not the outcome that most people would expect for their child, but he had a specific outcome envisioned. And Hashem tells him, Avraham, as much as you think you know where this is going, as much as you think you know what you're supposed to be doing right now, you have to be able to reconcile yourself to seeing things a little bit differently than you initially anticipated. This is actually a very, very fascinating message. You know, I think about this. Every generation reads the Akeda through the prism of their own experience. You'll find people reading the Akeda through the prism of you know, the Crusades. You'll find people reading the Akeda through the prism of various persecutions. And I always wonder, I spoke to a colleague of mine before Rosh Hashanah. So I asked him, second day of Rosh Hashanah, are you going to talk about the Akeda? He goes, God forbid, I wouldn't touch the Akeda. I've been, you know, this guy's been a rabbi for years. He says he's never once delivered a drush about the Akeda. Why? It's too big. It's too much, right? There's just too much attached to it. And I've been thinking about it, though, like, because in every door, we invoke the Akeda, and we speak about the Akeda, and we look for the lessons for the Akeda for our particular door. And sometimes they're big lessons about, really, like, Mesiras Nefesh in the most literal sense of the word. And sometimes there are other kinds of Mesiras Nefesh that we're called upon to learn from the Akedah. And the Rav Kook's message of the type of Mesiras Nefesh that Avram was learned, again, to moderate his religious passion, it's important for us, I think especially those of us who are either starting out as parents, or those of us who are a little bit more experienced as parents, to read the story of the Akedah as a parent, and to see it as the story of a parent, and to see it as a story of a parent having to moderate their expectations and prepare for outcomes for which they weren't expecting. That's, to me, it's a pretty big deal. Here's what I mean. Avraham knows what he has to do in this story, right? Just to elaborate a little bit. Avraham knows exactly what he's supposed to be doing. Hashem tells Avraham, you have to go and you have to shecht your son. And Avraham, knowing exactly what Hashem wants to fulfill that message and wants to fulfill that mission in the best way that he possibly can. He doesn't want anything to distract him from that mission. And even when Hashem appears to Avram and says, Avram, maybe it's time to start backing off. Listen to this Medrash, okay? This is a Medrash Rabbah. The Medrash Rabbah says, Vayomer al tishlach yad chel anar. Right? We know how the Akedah resolves, right? I don't need to tell you the whole story. But we know that Hashem appears to Avram and he says, Al tishlach yad chel anar. What does yad chel mean? Your hand, right. So the Medrash reads that very, very carefully and very specifically, and it's medayik very carefully into the words of the pasuk, and it says, "What's al tishlach yadcha el ha'na'ar?" What is Avraham supposed to be using to harm or to kill Yitzchak? He's supposed to be using a knife, right? So why does the pasuk say al tishlach yadcha el ha'na'ar? He's not trying to hurt him with his hands; he's trying to hurt him with a knife. So listen to the Medrash. The Medrash says, "V'sakinei chanai." What happened to the knife? So the Medrash says, "The knife disappeared." How did it disappear? It says the Malachim were so troubled by what was happening up there on Har HaMoriah that they cried, and the tears of the Malachim melted the knife. So Avram has no knife. So if Avram has no knife, you think that's the end of the story, right? Listen to the Medrash. The Medrash says, "Amar lo achan kenu." Okay, if I can't shecht him, maybe I could strangle him. So Hashem says, no, al tishlach yadcha el ha'na'ar. Not only do you not have a knife anymore, so that's not going to happen, you can't harm Yitzchak with your hands. So Avram says, okay, maybe I'll just hurt him a little bit. The Medrash says, amar lo, no tzim menu tipas dam? Can we make him bleed a little bit? Amar lo, al ta'as lo me'uma, do nothing. Right? The Medrash says, al ta'as lo reads me'uma as mum. Don't cause even the slightest injury to your son Yitzchak. What would motivate Avraham to have this conversation with Hashem? Is this not a bizarre conversation? The way Chazal described this conversation, once Hashem says it's over, wouldn't you think it's over? Wouldn't you think that Avraham, in fact, would welcome this whole Akedah business being over? God knows, if I was Avraham, I would be very, very happy if Hashem said it's all over. But, thank you, finished, done, I'm going home, right? But Avraham was like, maybe I could do a little Akedah? Maybe we could do a mini Akedah? Maybe we could do a little bit of a different Akedah? And Hashem says, Avraham, no killing, no harming. No knife, no hands, no mum. That's it. Why would Avraham be arguing in favor so carefully? Because the answer is, once you develop a shita, once you develop an approach, once you develop a particular perspective, once you have a passion about something, and you're really, really devoted to it, as Avraham was to Hashem, you sometimes become so fiercely devoted to it, and so single-minded in that particular mission, that you try to fulfill that mission without really being attentive to how that mission is going to impact other people. Avraham is so clear that he knows what he has to do. It's so clear to Avraham that he knows what his mission is, that he wants to carry that mission out at all costs. And the idea that maybe this is not the right thing you're supposed to be doing, which is what the message Hashem is trying to give to Avraham. Maybe you need to learn Avraham to moderate that a little bit. Maybe you need to stop a little bit. Avraham, it takes an entire argument. It takes no knife, no hands, no tipas dam, until finally Avraham is convinced, you know what, maybe I need to back off from Yitzchak a little bit. In other words, we've all been there, right? We've all been in that place where, like, you know, either maybe some of us who are younger have had this experience with our parents, maybe some of us whose children are getting a little older are starting to have this experience with our children. We know what needs to happen. We know the truth. We know the correct approach to life. And there's nothing that's going to distract us. And we have a vision for our children. And by the way, those of us who are starting off as parents, I think this is also a good message. We have a vision for our children. We have a goal for our children. We envision the way life is going to go in whatever area it might be. Whether it be in a career, whether it be in education, whether it be in a specific path, an approach to Avodas Hashem. We think we know exactly what needs to happen. And we become devoted to that. And it's hard for us to think outside of our boxes. It's hard for us to think outside of the boxes that we've created for ourselves. And it's hard for us to see the world in a little bit of a different way and to understand that life doesn't always resolve the way that we thought that it was going to resolve. And that's the story of the Akedah, of Hashem telling Abraham, you know what? You can't just be devoted to that. You can't just be devoted to your one perspective on the truth. You can't just be devoted to the way that you see things. You have to be ready to accept a different outcome. That's the story of Avraham Avinu at the Akedah. What does all this have to do with a girl who fell into a pit? So here you have Nechun Yechofer Sichin. Like we said, why is he Nechun Yechofer Sichin? Because his performance of this mitzvah is absolutely outstanding. He performs this mitzvah with such devotion, such enthusiasm. He brings his all to the performance of this mitzvah that even though there were many people who dug pits for the Olei Regalim in Yerushalayim, Nechunya is the one that the Mishnah chooses to list as the most exemplary pit digger of them all. So Nechunya has his passion, Nechunya has his mitzvah, but sometimes a parent fails to see how their passion can become, in this case, quite literally, a child's pitfall. And like Yitzchak, the daughter of Nechunya, Chofer Sichin, becomes a victim of her father's passion, and to a certain extent, it almost costs her life. So who rescues the daughter of Nechunya, Chofer Sichin? The aisle. Not just any aisle, but Yitzchak's aisle. The same aisle that rescued Yitzchak, the same ram that taught Avraham that the resolution might not live up to your expectations, the same aisle that taught Avraham to moderate himself and to moderate his expectations, like Rav Kook said, the same aisle of the Akedah, the Elo Shel Yitzchak, that's the aisle that rescues the daughter of Nechunya Chofer Sichin from the pit that her father dug. Her father had a mitzvah, her father had a passion, her father had something to which he was devoted, and he might not have seen how it could have come at the expense of the child, and so it's the ram of the Akedah that reminds us, all of us, whether it's Avram in his time, whether it's Nechunya in his time, whether it's us in our time, that we have to be able to see beyond that. Like I said, to me, this is a very personal, it's a personal thought, it's a personal approach, because As we see our children begin to grow older, they begin to develop their own tastes, they begin to develop their own approaches to things, you know, and their own opinions and their own personalities, and for some bizarre reason their own taste in music or whatever it is, you know. Sometimes, you know, let's take that as an easy example, right? Sometimes I sit in the car and I turn on the radio and my son is like, "What on earth are you doing?" And I'm like, "I just listen to music." It's like, "That's not music." So, you know, sometimes our expectations don't turn out exactly the way that we want them to. And the aisle of the Akedah tells us, moderate yourself, modify your expectations, understand that your children are going to turn out differently than you. That's actually okay. As long as we guide them on the proper path, as long as we give them the appropriate hadracha, we have to be prepared for other eventualities as well.